In our study of the miracles of Jesus Christ, we come tonight to a miracle that is unique amongst all of them. For it is one that not only did Jesus do, but he enabled another to do it with him. And that's where Peter walks on the water. Jesus was doing that. And he says to Peter, "You can too." The situation is found in Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 22 in your Bibles. But you found yourself, I'm sure, at various times in life where you're in a similar situation as the apostles were when the storms of life are raging around you. The passage says that the winds were contrary. And you've probably faced those winds many times before. You've been in peril and you cry out to God. And in fact, I thought this last song was appropriate for the message tonight. You cry out like Peter and you say, "Oh Lord, if I could only do the miraculous." Wouldn't you love to be able to walk on water? Wouldn't that be neat to walk on water? Well, tonight, I want to tell you how to walk on water. In the passage here, I think there are some principles that not only enabled Peter to walk on water, but would enable you to walk on water just as well. And I hope you're paying attention, because who knows when you might need to walk on water. Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 21, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away." Now this miracle is taking place right on the heels of the feeding of the 5,000, which was our last study. The day is now over, and he's telling his disciples to get in the boat, and apparently they didn't want to. And I can't blame them. They were in the company of 5,000 plus people that were all very happy with them. It was a good situation to be. But he's telling them to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And they didn't want to go, and he constrained them to do it. He forced them to do it against their will. Well, what was it that made them get in the boat? In the middle of the verse, it says to go before him or ahead of him, which implies, if not necessitates, that he was following along right after them. It would only be a matter of time till he would catch up with them. And if you will notice and take particular attention of this, to go where? To the other side. If you remember a few weeks ago, we had the story of when he was in the back of the boat asleep, and he had told the fellows that they were going to the other side. Well, they should have had the experience of that miracle where he calmed the waves and so forth, that they would get to the other side. But nonetheless, verse 23, "And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." Principle number one on how to walk on water is found here in that we need to remember that no matter where you are not apart from God. Here they are, they're out in the midst of the sea, all by themselves. Well, not really. Physically, they were separated from Christ. But where was he? Well, he was up on a mountain. I think he knew, not only in his deity, but in his genuine humanity, exactly what was going on out there. I think that up on that mountain, he could look out over the sea. Maybe they were far enough away that, humanly speaking, the eyesight, he couldn't see them, but he knew what was going on. We have a promise from God. It's found in Hebrews chapter 13, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. No matter where you are in life, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've trusted him as Savior, God is always with you in the presence of the Holy Spirit, who indwells your body and will never, ever leave you. You are never apart, no matter where you are, from God. There was an old song that Gospel Heralds did it a number of years ago. the words to it go, "There have been times that I've been out of your will, but I've never been out of your care." I love that. God is always with us. And if we remember that no matter where we are, we're not apart from God, there's a comfort in those times when the winds are contrary. Second thing that comes from it is remember that no matter what is going on around you, God knows about it. And Jesus has prayed about it. He had gone up into the mountain apart to pray. He was there all by himself and prayed. And I can't help but think that he was praying for those disciples that were out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, praying about the storm, praying for their safety. You know that Hebrews chapter 7 tells us that Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for you. Can you believe that? Every day, you are on the heart of Jesus Christ. He is interceding before the Father on your behalf. He has a few prayers more for me, possibly, than he does for you, because I need more, probably. But nonetheless, he's praying for us each and every day. And how many of the prayers of Jesus Christ have ever been turned down by the Father? Not a single one. Here Jesus is up there, and he's praying for these people, and they're out in the midst of the storm. Now, that leads to the third thing. Remember that no matter how bad things may become, the provision of God is on the way. To the disciples, it was not a good thing to get in the boat apart from Jesus. That was bad. It got worse when they were out there in the midst of the sea, and the storm came up, and the winds were contrary, and the waves were overlapping the ship, sides of the ship, and they were in peril. But look what happens next. Verse 25. "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear." In the Jewish mind, immediately preceding death was a visit from the angels. If you saw an angel, your time was up. And now they see this spirit coming to it, walking on the water. Well, that's no human being. They knew that. Or at least that's what they thought. Therefore, they're in trouble. The winds are contrary. The ship's being tossed to and fro. They're about to go down. This is it. Things had gone from bad to worse. And now they had gone from worse to worser. Here comes death. But who is it? No, it's life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid.'" Remember that no matter how bad things may become, the provision of God is always on its way. In the worst circumstances of life, if things are getting better, you know, the old saying, people told me to cheer up, things could get worse. So I cheered up, and sure enough, they got worse. And the very presence of God means that help is there for you. Well, verse 28, "And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou,'" it's one of those first class conditional sentences where it might be better translated, "Lord, since it is you, bid me to come unto thee on the water.' And he said, 'Come.'" Isn't that wonderful? Lord, you're out there. You're walking on the water. You seem so calm, so serene, so content, so at ease. We're in this boat and it's rocking all over the place. The waves are coming up. The wind is against us. We think we're going down. It looks a whole lot better where you are than where we are. I sure would love to be out there with you. But I'm not too sure how to get there. But if you can walk on water, you can enable me to walk on water. Lord, I trust you to give me the ability to do that." And he did. He said, "Come." We need to remember that no matter how difficult it may seem, the command of God is always accompanied by the enablement of God. That is the command that Jesus gave to Peter. Come. Not if you feel like it. He said, come, I want you here. Well, that's pretty good. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, look at this. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. God supplied a miraculous enablement for him to walk on water just by trusting him. But here comes the bad part. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Remember that no matter how tempting it may be, keep your eyes focused on the empowerment of God rather than the trouble that necessitates it. I think every commentary that I've read on this passage has said that Peter got into trouble when he took his eyes off the Lord. I say, I don't think he ever had his eyes on the Lord. Think about this. How many of you, when you've walked on water, what were you looking at? You haven't walked on water? Put yourself, frozen water, yeah. Put yourself in Peter's sandals. You're in the boat. No one's ever walked on water before. And the Lord says to you, Peter, come on over here. Okay. And you hold on to the boat and you put one foot over the side of the boat and you hold on keeping the other foot in. Wouldn't that be what you would do? And you find out that this foot hasn't gone down, so you take the other foot and you put the other foot out there, and you're still holding on to the boat, and where are you looking? You're looking at your feet because they're not going under. And now you let one hand go, and you let another hand go, and you still haven't gone down, and you start walking, and you're looking at your feet. I don't think he was ever looking at the Lord. He was looking at the empowerment that God gave him to walk on water. But all of a sudden, he got used to that. And he looked up. And then what did he see? He saw the wind and the waves and became afraid. He forgot what was empowering him to do the miraculous. And consequently, he began to sink and he cried out, Lord, save me. I love the next two words of verse 31, and immediately. Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Took him by the hand and pulled him back up, and now he's standing on the water again. Remember that no matter how tempting it may be, keep your eyes focused on the empowerment of God rather than the troubles that necessitate it. And you'll walk on water. But there's one more principle that's here that's absolutely important. Verse 32. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Hold on a second. Why would they go into the ship? Hey, they can walk on water. Why bother going into the ship? Principle is this. Remember that no matter what you may think, for you to do the miraculous is not necessary when God can already do it for you. Peter didn't need to walk on the water. He didn't need to go out there where Jesus was. He needed Jesus to come where he was. And when that happened, look what happened. The wind ceased. While they were out on the water, standing there, the trials were still going on. The wind was still blowing. The waves were still all over the place. They were still in peril. But as soon as Jesus came into the ship, now there was calm. Sometimes we say, oh Lord, you've got to enable me to do something great, something fantastic, something miraculous. When what we really need is, oh Lord, you need to do something miraculous. Come close to my side. Be near me. And calm the winds that are contrary in my life. I don't need to walk on water. I need you to come to me. So throw out all the other stuff that I just preached to you. You don't need to walk on water. You need Christ to be right by your side, and the winds will cease. Isn't that wonderful? Mm-hmm. Father, we thank you tonight for the fact that when the winds are contrary, the waves are raging, the storms of life howl, you know what's going on. You've prayed about it. Relief is on its way. And even though we might be empowered to do the miraculous, it's not necessary, for you're the one who does the miraculous. And when you work, the storms of life cease. Lord, we praise you for your goodness. We praise you for your care for us. We praise you for your love for us. Lord, help us to be content in our boats, remembering that the command to go onto the other side is a command that can be fulfilled by the power of God and the providence of God and the passion of God. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week.